To be in financial debt is a horrible thing. The compound interest, the incessant phone calls, the constant worry, the bills, the sleepless nights. It's very crippling. This feeling that I can't get out, that I have become a slave. Yet what's more crippling, but perhaps less obvious, is the effect of sin. If we let it in our lives, it has power over us. Not only harming that friendship that we have with God and with others, venial sin, but even casting off the inheritance that Christ Jesus won for us, mortal sin. Much like what we saw in Genesis 25 when Esau sold his birthright to Jacob because he was hungry. He sold his inheritance to fill his belly. The good news is preached by St. Paul, who said that because the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in us, we are no longer debtors to the flesh, no longer under the slavery of sin. Now, fitting that during this weekend, as we remember our nation's independence, we recall our own freedom in Jesus. Yet the freedom and independence is misused when it is self-serving, cannot lead to anarchy on the streets, in the homes. It is one that must be rightly ordered. This is why, in the very same breath, St. Paul said, "We are not debtors to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live." Someone who isn't living in that freedom is akin to the guy we tell that he should stop with his addictions. And he says, "Well, I can take a pause from this anytime I want to. I can stop with these drugs. But I just don't choose to do so yet." And we know that person is feeling that debt of sin. But there is victory in the name of Jesus. In this very month, we recall the precious blood of Jesus Christ, the blood that was foreshadowed in Exodus 12. This blood is the blood that saves, because it was offered in love to God the Father by his Son, Jesus. Not only for him, but also out of love for you and I, for the whole world, for all of humanity. And this precious blood flows forth upon us as a conduit of grace by which we ourselves can find freedom. You and I aren't powerless. We have the Spirit that raised the dead Jesus to life. We don't have to be slaves to sin. And sometimes when we find ourselves having lived our life for a great number of years, we might think that that is just who I am, that is just my fault. It is an indication that I am quote-unquote human. And we don't fight. We give up. We just say, "That's just my condition. I just go to the sacrament of confession, take care of that." But in terms of actually getting to the root of the issue, it doesn't happen. And the word, my brothers and sisters, that Jesus Christ is giving to us through St. Paul, he's letting us know that that is not the case, that we are not under the power of sin. That as we find ourselves renewing our trust, renewing our faith, renewing our love for God, that there is nothing that can stand between us and him. But do we have that faith? And are we putting in that work? Sometimes when we think about the victory of Jesus Christ, he who is the God-man, the second person of the Holy Trinity, we think that because he is so much more than us, that in and of itself should take care of everything. But we have free will. We can always choose to accept it, to deny it. That is the love that God has for us. So it can never override our desire. It can never override what we hold on to. Despite our words being contrary. So that means we've got to put in the work. And there are seven things. They can be considered steps. They can be seen connected to one another. And while I was trying to think of an acronym to make it easier to remember, I didn't. So whatever you are able to remember, whatever the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart, convicts you and says, this is where I need you to focus, that's good. So you have relationship, you have humility, examination of conscience. From there, building goals, recognizing weaknesses, recognizing that we're not alone, we have the cloud of witnesses around us, and that we're just simply called to act. Yes, Reg Waka is not a good acronym. Relationship. Sometimes we're under the impression that we have to do things by ourselves. And of course, with the good things that this culture brings about in terms of making things more effortless, seamless, available, it can be easy to buy into that. That I have to do everything. I am self-sufficient. I am enough. And while it may be good to remind us of those things, perhaps if we are in a dark place, if we're filled with depression or feel as if we aren't able to do something, in terms of the normal day-to-day life, am I enough? I am not. Am I sufficient? I am not. And that's not a false humility. It's a way in which says, that's why I need Jesus. That's why I need a Savior. That's why He came for me. Because I know I can't completely trust myself. But I know someone who can get me through it. I know someone who can uplift me. I know someone who has been there and can show me the way. I know that Jesus, when I call upon Him, when I cry out to Him, I know He is there. After all, when we find ourselves at the end of our days, if God willing, we find ourselves in the blessedness of heaven, we aren't simply going to be up in the clouds, looking around and going, ha! I made it. Just me. No one's around, but I did it. And it's lonely. That's not heaven. God has already fashioned us in this image and likeness. So already imprinted within us this longing for communion. And until we find ourselves in that relationship with God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and recognizing Him completely for who He is, not just in me, but in His inner life, then life will make more sense. It will not answer everything that we have aching in our hearts, but it will make more sense. And more sense in the fact that when we recognize who God is, then our reliance on Him, our dependence on Him, our love for Him just grows. And when that happens, more of that grace flows also upon us. Not to say that God is simply barricading us from receiving that grace, but because we just didn't know that it was accessible to us in the first place. And so we've got to make sure that our relationship with God is on solid footing. We got to be careful that we don't have a distorted image of God, which is something that happens to all of us. It can be very common. How do we know if we have a distorted image of God? A quick way would be simply to ask ourselves if we're angry with God. Are we blaming God for something? Or is God the cause of my sadness, of my sorrow? Does God seek delight in putting me down and breaking my heart and not answering my prayers? Is he the one responsible? How dare he? And that is a distortion of who God is. We have that thought, we ever entertain that thought, we really don't know who God is. And we got to start with the basics. We have to renew our heart in him. Sometimes we get lazy. And we'd rather hear from things in the news or social media posts. And who knows where that's coming from? You know, it could be spoken from a fallen away Catholic. It could be an agnostic. It could be a heretical priest. And we don't know. We're just thinking, okay, well, that's just maybe what I have to believe or kind of believe. And okay, I guess that's who God is. We don't take the time, or we don't take enough time where we just sit in abandonment in the very love of God, or sitting in his word, but just taking the Bible, praying for the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, praying for light, praying for guidance, and just saying, Lord, just speak to me, speak to me. Normally we just go right into the things that we felt important to us, try to hear an answer for those things, rather than just simply believing and recognizing that God has every good planned for us. And so we build that up by immersing ourselves in his word, receiving the ultimate grace at Holy Mass, Eucharistic adoration. You know, all these things are meant to foster that deep relationship with God in such a way that it is uniquely yours. I mean, can a relationship be built by gossip or hearsay from other people? But how can it be with God? We have to go and make time for him. Once we have that relationship, we can look at building at humility. We pray to our Lord Jesus, meek and humble of heart, make my heart like unto thine. If the second person of the Holy Trinity is the epitome of humility, then we can't be so proud of ourselves. We need to build what's known as a healthy distrust of ourselves. And the modifier there, healthy, is important. You know, it's not we just distrust ourselves because we just can't believe we can do anything. No, that's not the case. But the distrust here, the healthy distrust, has to be tied with a goal. And that goal is that we can make more room for trust in the Father. Sometimes when we find ourselves going to confession, we think about the ways in which we have done well, and then we find ourselves genuinely surprised when we have failed. I don't know what happened. I don't know what went wrong. I don't know why I lost my cool, why I got angry. I don't know why I lost my patience. I don't know why I still have this grudge. And it's requiring more and more of us to realize that, yeah, there's stuff in us that are in desperate need of grace. And until I realize that, until I just step out of the way and just stop thinking like, I gotta deal with this, I gotta fix it, I'm the one that's a problem, whoa. It's just go to God, right? And again, we're talking about relationship. And with this, we accept that there will be change. Change. Everyone's favorite word. No one likes change, right? And it introduces that uncomfortability within us. You know, we struggle with that. You know, we see the ideal, we like the ideal, but we just want it now. Right? Don't make me wait. God, just pour your grace on me. Make me a saint now. Make it happen. And in that uncomfortability, you know, one of the reasons why that exists in our lives, especially when we are trying to respond to the invitation to grow deeper in our relationship with God, is because so many times that uncomfortability is a recognition that we have seated other things in our hearts that are not of God. And so this uncomfortability can come through our dethronement of those things that have once occupied our hearts or have demanded us to be a certain way, to do a certain thing, apart from the plans of the Father. So it's a struggle, but we have to acknowledge that it will be a struggle. If we can't get past that point, if we just have that aversion to struggle, aversion to uncomfortability, then there will be no growth. There will be no growth. After relationship and humility, we have the examine, the Holy Spirit, praying for a thorough examination of conscience and helping us identify our root sin. Sometimes when we go to confession, we're so busy thinking about, you know, all the things I've done again and again and again. And sometimes, if we spend enough time in prayer, discernment, we realize there's something deeper going on. There's something else at play. Why is that sin the thing I keep doing? No matter how many times I've sought the grace of God, why is it that I thought this was not supposed to have power over me? Well, it's because we haven't gotten to the root of it. You know, we've named the very surface things, things in which everyone can see, things which everyone can call us out on, but in terms of the driving force behind it, what is it? And that's where we have, you know, in that kind of examination of conscience, where the Holy Spirit can really help us through that. Once we unearth that, it'll help us know what we should do. John 16:7-8, Jesus says, "I tell you the truth, it is better for you that I go. For if I do not go, the Advocate will not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world in regard to sin and righteousness and condemnation." The Holy Spirit has been given to us. Let's pray more to the Holy Spirit. Pray more of that surrender, more of that guidance, more of that light, more of that wisdom. We don't pray to him enough. We don't pray enough, period. Fourth, goals. You know, after all of this, right, what's the ideal? Where am I headed? Where am I going? Areas of growth, they can't remain ambiguous. You might want to say, well, I'll try better next time, or I'll work harder next time, or I'll be better. What does that look like? How? They need to be written down and specific. They need to be measurable and actionable. They have to be things in which hold us accountable, or else they will be for us eternal shame. Imagining Jesus, who might say to us, "So you knew that this was your sin, theft, adultery, blasphemy, cheating, disobedience, but what did you do to change it? What did you do?" The fifth being recognizing our weaknesses. Sin doesn't just happen. We know that all of us have weaknesses. That's contributing from our personalities, our upbringing. And in acknowledging our weaknesses, we should then know what to look for and learn to act upon that. So let's say, you know, a common hang up is gossip, right? So maybe you find yourself gossiping just to one particular person or some particular people. And, you know, maybe that can be an occasion where you might just say outright, especially it's good to have that conversation one-on-one. If you start bringing something up and you're just like, oh, I did it again, you know, to say, you know what? I'm sorry. I'm not supposed to do that. Please hold me accountable. And the person might say, you know, okay, well, you know, thanks for being honest with me. You know, I'm trying to work on that too. Please do the same. Or they might say, okay, all right, sorry about that. You know, so at least if they're trying to work with you, then you've got a good friend. But if on the other hand, the person says, well, that's okay, tell me more. You know, what's the latest gossip? You know, bye. Latest gossip is I'm not going to see you for a while. Sometimes we need to just get ourselves away from that. And again, we're not eliminating the friendship or the relationship. We're just saying, I just need you to realize that that's important. Not only to me, but also to you. But then also recognizing that through all this, we are surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. You know, we're not alone. You know, that's one of the greatest things that the evil one will try to always introduce to us, is that you're suffering alone. You're the only one that's going through this. You're the only one that has a problem. You're the only one that's having a difficulty with this. Everyone's on board. Aren't you a child of God? Don't you have grace? You make me sick. And he will twist these things within us and make us realize that our struggle, you know, is just ours. When in reality, while we do have our brothers and sisters who struggle in the same way, we are not alone in the fight against it. You know, there's always that saying where there's strength in numbers. I remember back when I was in middle school, high school, this idea was really pressed within my mind when I remember my friends, not me, they like to go to haunted houses. They just love paying lots of money to get scared. So I remember going and, you know, if it's me that's heading everything, right, you think like you're alone. And you know, anything that comes, you know, a blow of the wind, a loud noise, you know, freaks you out or freaks me out. But then there are times when I've had, you know, friends that were surrounding me or, you know, one that would be ahead of me. And then it changes. You know, you have support, you have strength, you realize you're not alone. And in this case, you know, if something freaks the guy out in front of you, it's more entertaining than anything else. Oh, even though you know yourself that you'd be freaking out just as well. And that's the thing that we have to remember, like, throughout our lives, is that we are never alone. We are never alone. And that is meant to be a good thing. You know, we've got our guardian angel, who's always with us. Jesus is there. You know, we've got the saints, our patron saint, you know, the saints in which you've been given a confirmation. You know, we've got the patronal saint of our church, St. Michael, the archangel. You know, we are so surrounded by help that we need to remember that more and more. And, you know, the more that we recognize that, the more that we will be filled with those virtues, that courage that's necessary. Because this is what happens. It's whenever we're weak. You know, you have a long day. You know, you're hungry, you're angry, you're lonely, you're tired, any one of those things. You know, that's where he's going to strike. And it's going to be tough. And that's where we're going to have to remember, I got to call command, right? I got to get on my knees. I got to pray. I got to remember who's around me. I got to remember the help that is available to me. But I have to voice that. You see, the evil one doesn't like when we voice these things out. You know, that's why it's so important, like in our prayer, in our praise, in our thanksgiving, it's these things in which we give voice to. Irritates evil. It's like having your nails on a chalkboard on the ears of the evil one. And we just praise God and we thank him, especially when things aren't going well. You know, when we do that, because it's exercising faith. It's saying, I know it doesn't look right now. I know life isn't right. I know it could be so much better. But he's got this. And I choose to trust in that. Even though I don't feel that, I choose to trust in that because God doesn't disappoint. And lastly, after thinking of all these things, we just act. Take care of it. Sometimes we deliberate, sometimes we think, well, is this the right thing? Well, I wasn't sure. You know, when we have that stirring within us that says, when we're about to gossip about someone or do something that we know we shouldn't, and there's that sting of the conscience, it's our guardian angel, right? It's the Holy Spirit. And sometimes we take that for granted. We think that's something that all of us have. But, you know, when we close ourselves from grace, that's not readily sensible or audible. Not audible in the sense that you actually hear something, but, you know, that's why I said sensible first. It's something that you know, experience. You know what's the right thing to do. And, you know, as soon as that comes, instead of deliberating, instead of thinking back and forth, just act. You know, that can be one of our greatest stumbling blocks, is that we just spend too much time thinking about it. We just have to act. While financial debt is a pain, sin does even more damage, seeking to stifle the very life of grace within us and disown us from our inheritance. Yes, we've been given the gift of the Holy Spirit to do great things, but it will demand action from us, building that relationship, having humility, having be examined, having goals, recognizing our weaknesses, recognizing that we're not alone, and finally, just acting on it. Our freedom in Christ Jesus is complete, but not to do as we please, for we can so easily fall back into being debtors of the flesh if our hearts aren't surrendered completely to God.